Okay, we're going to undertake the study of Sefer Yehoshua as part of our daily Nach Yomi. As we go through Sefer Yehoshua, maybe we'll just do a slight overview of each day's parak and some salient ideas that will come through as well. After Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Hashem, dies, Hashem told Yehoshua that the time had come to take Bnei Yisrael across the Yarden and into the land that they're going to get. And to this, the Mitzudos and Malbim both note that Moshe Rabbeinu's death gets mentioned at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, because had he been alive, Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have been able to cross the Yarden. Now Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be able to cross. So Rashi quotes Masechta Temura, where we learn that that day 3,000 halachos were forgotten while Bnei Yisrael were busy mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu. The nation blamed Yehoshua for that, and they got ready to kill him. And the Gemara explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to leave this world, he gave Yehoshua the opportunity to go ahead and ask him anything and any questions he might have. But Yehoshua had answered that since he never left Moshe Rabbeinu, he had no questions. That became a blow to Moshe, because they equated Rebbe with Talmud, and as a result, that, says the Gemara, is what caused Yehoshua to forget 3,000 halachos, and it developed 700 sfeikos. So Yehoshua asked Hashem to give him those halachos back, and Hashem said, Moshe Avdi Meis, and the Torah is called Toras Moshe, I can't go get him, go get the people busy with war instead. So basing his words on the Zohar HaKadosh, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that the Torah gets known as Toras Moshe because only Moshe Rabbeinu can get Torah directly for Hashem. And so therefore, in order for the nation to forget about their anger at the loss of the halachos, Hashem told Yehoshua, prepare Bnei Yisrael to cross the Yarden and get ready for war. What Hashem didn't tell Yehoshua, these halachos, even though they had been given to Moshe, was that they would be found in the Torah, and Yehoshua just have needed a reminder, but rather they needed a melus batorah. And so therefore, the halachos are going to be reconstructed by Othniel ben Kenaz. Hashem then tells Yehoshua that when he crossed the Yarden, he's going to give him the strength to conquer the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. And he's going to tell him, Chazak v'amat. Hashem then starts describing the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and he assures Yehoshua that nobody's going to rise up against him and challenge his authority. And that was a very big deal, because Moshe Rabbeinu, the previous leader, had dealt with so many critics and complaints. And here's Yehoshua, he's being promised that he's not going to go through those same trials and tribulations. Hashem gives Yehoshua one of the greatest promises. He promises Yehoshua that Eyeimach, that I'm going to be with you not only as a leader of Am Yisrael, but also in your personal relationship. And that Hashem is always going to be the one that's always going to be there, so suggests the Das Sofrim. And just as I was with Moshe Rabbeinu, with open miracles, so too it would be, says the Malbim, with Yehoshua. As long as the ways of the Torah are kept, Yehoshua is going to be successful. So after completing the days of Avelus for Moshe, Yehoshua orders his officers to tell the nation to wait, that in 3 days they should get ready, because they're crossing the Yarden to inherit the land that Hashem gave them. And they were told to prepare all of their provisions, including weapons. And Rashi and Radak explained that in order to make preparations during these 3 days, that doesn't mean food preparations, they were still getting mun. And they still had the produce that they previously purchased from the Goyim. So Yehoshua reminds the 2.5 tribes, the Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, of the conditions that they were given by Moshe Rabbeinu in exchange for the land that they requested. That the families have to stay here, but that the people are getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. But once Eretz Yisrael was conquered, then these 2.5 Shvatim would be able to return to their land on the other side of the Yarden. And these Shvatim replied that they would do exactly that Yehoshua demanded, as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, as he was with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so here we have a brand new generation, one that didn't complain against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were truthfully able to say that they were going to be able to listen to Yehoshua, says the Das Sofrim, just like they had listened to Moshe. The nation had then accepted Yehoshua as their leader, and they bestowed him the status of a king, invoking halacha that anyone who dares to rebel against him would be put to death, and there would be a punishment within that context. This is a basic summary of what goes on in the first parak of Sefer Yehoshua. And a person needs to understand that these 3,000 halachas get forgotten because Yehoshua didn't feel he needed Moshe Rabbeinu to clarify anything before his death. But Hashem promised Yehoshua that he'd always be with him, both as a leader of the nation and in his personal relationship. 3, Yehoshua orders the nation to prepare weapons before crossing the Yarden, and he also reminds the 2.5 Shvatim about the conditions that they were being given by Moshe Rabbeinu in exchange for the land that they had requested. This is the nature of the day. Now, of course, this leads us to have a couple of questions that we might want to review in our study of Sefer Yehoshua. Question number 1. Why was it necessary for the Navi to say, Acharei Moshe Eved Hashem Meis? And of course, the answer to the question is for us to remember that while Moshe was alive, Bnei Yisrael couldn't go into the land of Israel. Why did Yehoshua feel that he didn't need to ask Moshe Rabbeinu any questions before he died? Good. It's he didn't feel a need to ask Moshe Rabbeinu any questions because, to be quite honest, he felt he was at Moshe's side the entire time. But he was wrong for that, because there are always questions to be asked, and he pained Moshe Rabbeinu in the process, because he has to understand, a person has to understand, that the Rebbe and the Talmud are not always the same. What happens if we forget a halacha? We need to be able to use the tools that we have to find the halacha. When we forget halachos, we have to know that they're able to be divined from the Torah, and we have a Masorah that's there to help us divine it. What are some of the promises that Hashem made to Yehoshua? That the same way that I would be with Moshe Rabbeinu, Eyeimach, both personally and also nationally, and people are not going to rise up against you. And finally, what were the conditions that Moshe gave to the 2.5 tribes? So we understand that they had to go ahead and lead the rest of Bnei Israel into their process of going into Eretz Yisrael and leave their families behind. And that is a summary of the first parak of Sefer Yehoshua. We're looking forward to doing and seeing more of it again tomorrow.